And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is Tuesday, August the 14th, 2018, 15 minutes past the hour. And let me tell you something, this hour, just take the knob off your radio and throw it out the window, because we have on one of my favorite guests, and she truly is. She is one of the kindest, most amazing actresses of our time, and obviously her industry feels that way. She received much acclaim for her role as Gertrude Stein on the stage, won a Grammy Award for the album, by the way. Along the way, she also picked up an Emmy Award for her work on the small screen television, and on the big screen, she is best known as the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid. Today she's on to remember one of her dear friends and our dear friend, Charlotte Ray, who passed away last Sunday at the age of 92. But it is always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones one of my favorite people. We haven't had her on since the Cinco de Mayo, her 91st birthday. That's too long in between visits to say these words. Audience, the legendary, the kind, the gracious, Pat Carroll. Pat, how you doing?
Oh, Scott, you lovely, lovely person. What a nice introduction. Way too generous, but I loved it. Oh, I am fine, Scott. Thank the good Lord. At the age of 91, I am in shockingly good health. Don't ask me why I've led a profligate life. And I just am so grateful for every day, and I try the best I can to do what I can to spread some good. That's what we should all do.
Well, Pat, as I say, I was looking in the archive this morning, and I said, it cannot be 4 months since we've talked to Pat, and when I hear your voice, it just puts me in a good mood.
Oh, God, what a nice thing to say, Scott. That's just lovely. I appreciate it.
Well,
but, you know, I think that's what we all forget about each other. We have kind of a mandate, don't we, to make sure that we are in contact with our brothers and sisters on this planet Earth and see what they're up to and see how we can help them feel a little better today.
Absolutely. So, Pat, before we get to the topic of the day, how has the 91st year been for you?
Oh, you know, I never have complaints. That sounds so boring. But I am so fortunate. Number one, if your health is good, you can accomplish anything you attempt. And that is true. So I encourage everybody in good health to do something. And I am in good health, and I thank the good Lord for that, because that's a gift. That's not a given.
Absolutely. Of course, last Sunday, the world lost our dear friend Charlotte Ray at the age of 92. Pat, what was your association with Charlotte Ray?
I never worked with Charlotte. We passed each other's as sister entertainers in our profession, but I never got the joy of working with her. She was a thoroughgoing professional, and I so admire that in anyone, man or woman, in our business. And I think Charlotte made good friends as she worked along in life. And she did good work. She was an honest player. And she was a hard worker. And I'll tell you, nothing makes up for that.
You know, Pat, we had on Orson Bean last week, who never worked with her either, but said that when he and his wife would do stage shows out in Los Angeles in recent years, Charlotte would always show up and sit in the audience.
Oh, how lovely. That's like her.
Yeah. She did.
You know, I mean, that's a professional generosity that many of us forget to do, is to be in the audience for our fellow performers.
You know, Pat, the one thing through the interviews with Charlotte over the years that I always noticed was, I don't think that she ever thought of herself as the celebrity that other people saw her.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. Her humility was unbelievable. And it wasn't put on. That was sincere. She did not believe that. But I think she would be shocked if she had been shown the reality of her following.
Absolutely. I tell you, I want to play a clip, Pat, because I think this speaks to it. This is an interview we did with Charlotte Ray in May of 2016, because at the height of Facts of Life, which was a huge television series, she decided to leave after the seventh year, and they wanted her to stay on, but she wanted to go, and this is Charlotte Ray telling us why she left the Facts of Life.
Well, one of the things, I mean, that people do remember is that you did leave the series after the seventh year.
Yes, I mean, I was older than the girls. I mean, they were at the beginning of their careers, and I wanted to go back and do other things. I wanted to do, and I did do some challenging things that were so rewarding, and I didn't leave them in the lurch. Every one of them, all four of them, were so loved by the television audience that I knew that the cameraman and the gaffer and the producers and the writers were not going to lose their jobs. I mean, they wanted me to sign up for two more years after the 7 years. And at my age, I wanted to go and do more things on the stage and more challenges and more everything, not just be tied up with the same show. And because I didn't feel guilty, because I felt that they would, and they did very well with Gloris Leachman. They all did very well. And so I don't feel guilty, because they had a very successful 2 years after I left. And I had a wonderful time doing that wonderful play, Driving Miss Daisy, and a whole bunch of plays. I had a wonderful time, and traveled, and you know, doing things while I'm still in good health. You know,
absolutely.
You know, Pat, that says something of an actress who can leave a series and worry that it was going to go on, and it did.
Yes, it did. It usually does, you know. We think that we're irreplaceable, and we aren't. We could be replaced in 5 minutes.
You know, it's interesting, Pat. I heard one of the Facts of Life girls interviewed, and they said that when the show started, it was a spinoff. And it was built around Charlotte Ray's character from Different Strokes. And she said over the years it became about the girls. And they said Charlotte was so gracious about that, that this was her show, but she was gracious. She was happy for them.
Well, she was a gracious lady, you know. And I think people forget that actors are human beings, and Charlotte was built that way. She was a generous person. A generous person.
Was there anything, Pat, that you ever passed on and just to go do something you wanted to do?
Oh, Lord, I'm sure I did, because I always did what I wanted to do. But I can't remember at this moment what it would be. But I think it's very important, not only for actors, but for human beings, to do what they must do at the time. Don't leave it. Do what you must do and get on with your life.
You know, it's interesting, Pat, a similarity that I see between yourself and Charlotte Ray. She talked in that clip there about going back and doing the stage work, Driving Miss Daisy and other plays, and
right.
Certainly you went on to do Gertrude Stein. What is it about stage work that is great?
It is another dimension of expressing yourself as an actress, doing whatever it is you're doing for the stage. And it is again that wonderful, irreplaceable thing of playing to other human beings. You are playing to people like yourself. We're all human beings together. We just share some experiences together, and the theater at its best is that experience of our sharing, I as an actress, the audience as an audience, that experience of presenting something someone has written of imagination. And it's a very exciting field. It really is wonderful to do the work of a playwright, an author, who has written something that has meat and potatoes in it. And you know that the audience is getting it, and they're laughing in the right places, and there is that lovely quiet in the right places. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. I think it is for the author as well.
Absolutely. I want to go back to the interview with Charlotte Ray for a moment, because she was known the world over as Mrs. Garrett. And I asked her how close Charlotte Ray, the person, was to Mrs. Garrett. And this is the answer from 2016.
How much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not, they made Mrs. Garrett perfect, which was ridiculous, as I wrote in the book. I mean, they never let me yell at the kids or anything, which most parents, all the kids wanted a mother like Mrs. Garrett. Well, she wasn't real, because most mothers lose their temper sometime and they get mad, and so on and so forth. Anyway.
Pat, that's kind of interesting.
It's kind of true, too.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is. We all love the people who aren't real.
That's right. They don't have any bumps or scars or problems.
It's interesting, Pat, because we had talked at one point about villains, and these on Mary Tyler Moore and on WKRP and certainly Ursula, you played the villain a lot of times.
Right.
But that was fun for you.
I loved it. There is nothing for an actor or actress to do than play mean, because it takes a lot more energy. It takes a lot more thinking and a lot of push in delivering. And they're far more interesting characters than goody-goody two-shoes.
Something interesting, Pat? When I think of actresses like Charlotte Ray and Pat Carroll, and I say Bea Arthur, Kay Ballard, people of that nature, I don't know that I see that coming now. It's a unique time, I think, in the acting profession, because you ladies really had it down. I mean, it was something to watch. It is something to watch.
Well, we also had the theatrical experiences that we had to go through of the time, and they may be totally different today for young actresses. But all of us that you mentioned came from about the same time and period in the theatrical experience, and were trained and experienced things about the same way. So our work had to smack of a certain similarity, because we grew up in the same school.
When I watch some of the work that you have done, Pat, I just marvel sometimes at how far you went as a villain. And I think, boy, I don't see people going that far. It was evil, but it was funny, and it was entertaining, and it was just all the way. And it, boy, what a great thing that is to leave for the world.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's much more fun to play villains than good people, because they tend to be the least bit boring. But evil characters are never boring. They're irritating. They're always full of energy, however. And though it be evil energy, it makes for more fun eventually.
When we look back on the career of Charlotte Ray, what do you think was the attribute that kept her working for well over 70 years?
I think it was that which all of us as actors cannot stop, our real character as a human being. And I think Charlotte could not stop being loved, because she was lovable. And I don't care how crotchety the character she played, the good Charlotte always came through. And I think that has a great deal to do with infusing characters you play with the part of you that is human.
You know, it's interesting. The New York Times obituary that ran on Charlotte, the last paragraph I found fascinating. It talked about an interview that Charlotte had done years ago, and she said that when she was in high school, that the reason she became an actress was because she was short and kind of heavy set, and she wanted to be accepted. And she thought that was a way to do it.
Well, good for her, and she was right.
She was. But she had to have the talent to back it up, and she did.
And she did, and she worked hard at it, too.
And was a great, people don't, for people who only see her on Facts of Life, she was a great singer.
Yes, she was. People didn't know that. She could have done a club act.
She really could have. She had some songs that her and Sheldon Harnick had done that were hilarious.
Yes, yes.
Great, great people. Pat, I want to go back to the interview one more time here, because I asked Charlotte about how she would like to be remembered in 2016.
You look back at your career, how do you want people to remember the work you've done?
I don't care. I just hope I've been of some enjoyment to them. That's all.
And
I hope I've moved them and made them forget their troubles and laugh or cry or whatever, get out of themselves.
And my final question, because I know you do have to go, is because you have had such a great career, great work on television, great movies, great stage career, but does it ever maybe bother you in a slight way that first and foremost, you'll always be known as Edna Garrett?
Not at all. I think that as the years roll by, I realize it was a positive thing. No, not at all. No.
And the book.
Not at all. They love her. They do. And they still do.
You know, Pat, that's a very interesting answer.
Absolutely. Well, that was Charlotte.
Yeah.
She was nobody's dumbbell.
No, she
wasn't. She knew exactly what constituted the qualities that she had as an actress that made that character work.
You know, it's interesting, and I hope people do pick up this book. She wrote a book in 2015 called The Facts of My Life, and in that book, she was tremendously honest. She had an issue with alcohol in her life. She had a son who was autistic. She had a husband who ended up being bisexual, and she spoke about all that.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah.
She was an honest woman.
She was an honest woman, and that's a very honest book, and I hope people pick that up because she...
Well, I didn't know she'd written a book, so now you've taught me, and I'm going to call my book dealer and order it.
You have to. It's so honest.
What's the title?
It's The Facts of My Life.
Oh, good.
Yes.
That's a good title.
Now, Pat, a lot of people have asked me this. Is Pat Carroll writing a book?
I have been writing a book all my life. Let me see how far I've gone with this. I have been hacking things for my grandchildren.
Oh.
I have been writing about my parents. I have been writing about my children. I have been writing as I go along, and I will present this to my grandkids at the right time when I'm finished with it.
Is there something in there that the world does not know about Pat Carroll?
That I almost became a nun.
Really?
Yes. I'm not a bit ashamed of that. I maybe should have. But the sisters, from the very beginning of my life, because I began going to Catholic schools, my parents put me in Catholic schools when I was in kindergarten. And I had, what, I had all through high school, I went to a Catholic college. I've had nothing but Catholic education, and I'm so grateful for it. And all those nuns, oh, what glorious teachers they were, and what exemplary human beings. So I've had the best of all of it, and I'm ever grateful.
And when you were about to become a nun, what made you decide against it in the end?
I wanted to be an actress more. Yeah. I guess God didn't need me that much. He let me go on the showbiz. No, and that's literally what it comes down to, because if God has chosen you to do his work in that specific way, I think you know it. I think you really know it, and you know that the finger has been laid on you. And I think maybe God wanted me to do the work I've done.
When you were growing up, Pat, what was it that drew you to that profession, acting?
Acting? I think I always loved it. I was fascinated by it. I was fascinated by actors. I was fascinated by that work. And as I went through high school, I began working in live theater on a stage, and I loved it. I loved it. And I think maybe it was better that I did that work than anything else, because I think the best of me has been used in the work I've done.
You know, it was interesting. Charlotte passed away last Sunday, and a year ago...
God bless her.
Yeah, God bless. And a year ago, at age 91, she was doing a play out there in Los Angeles. Samuel.
Oh, what was the play?
I'm going to have to look that up here, but I'll get that for you. It was a Samuel Beckett play. She got very good reviews for it. I do remember that. But at this point in your career, Pat, is there anything you still want to do on the stage or on the screen, television?
I want to do more Shakespeare.
Oh.
Dedicated by Shakespeare, because I don't think I am adept or practiced enough in it, and I should just... The discipline of it is so wonderful for the actor, and if what happens is good for the audience, what a combine. But I would like to do that more. Yes, I would.
Would you like to still do things on the television screen?
Would I like to do things on television?
Yeah.
Of course. I think television is that kind of entertainment that I certainly didn't have when I was a kid, and how I would have relished it. And I just think it's international. And I think the demands of the more creative producers, directors, and writers make it a very creative field these days for actors.
You know, I have heard, Pat, that they are filming the new Murphy Brown series in New York. And I thought, boy, they need to get Pat Carroll on that series.
I don't know what in God's name I would play, but I am thrilled to do any kind of work, whether it be on television or in the theater. I just love the work that I've done all my life. I chose this when I was 12, and I've never gone away from it. I didn't go into medicine or law or anything else. I have just loved what I've done with the work I selected.
You know, Pat, when you look back on your particular body of work, what was it about the person Gertrude Stein that was such an appealing role for you?
It was the fact of her life and of her writing. And I found her to be, for her time, the time in which she lived, a very unique character, and one I thought I could play, and I think I did. I think I did it fairly well. And what an intriguing time in literary history and social history, and a character highly overlooked, and I thought, oh, wow, this is perfect for me to do as a one-person show. I had a wonderful time doing it.
Absolutely. And you did that play all over the country.
Yes, I did. And could not have enjoyed it more, right down to the last performance. It was just wonderful, and I loved particularly working for college students, because she was an author and a character that they are not one of their major interests. And I think it lit fires underneath them. They all began reading her again and carrying on about her. But it was an intriguing experience for me, and I'm so grateful she came into my life, because she was a wonderful character to work on.
When you tour across the country, what is that like, playing it in different cities?
Oh, it's wonderful. Number one, The idea of working as an actress live in front of audiences today, what with television and movies and all the rest of it, it's just a miracle. I am so grateful to be able to do it and to have done it. And particularly the university audiences were so exciting to play for. They were just wonderful. And that kind of enthusiasm and interest and passion that those young people showed was exemplary to me. I was just always aghast and agog about it and could not have been happier than touring colleges and universities.
It had to have been tremendous. We did just look it up here. Charlotte Ray's play that she did, the last work she did, was the play Endgame.
What was it?
Endgame. E-N-D-G-A-M-E.
I don't know that.
Yeah, apparently
it's... Who wrote it?
It was done by Samuel Beckett.
No, I don't know that Beckett play.
Yeah, it's...
I would have loved to have seen her in it.
Well, and, you know, on stage, Charlotte was about 5 foot tall, but boy, did she command the stage.
Of course she did. Of course she did, because she had the talent.
Yeah, she, you know, and in that play, she got to use some of that dramatic work that you didn't see a lot of her on television.
That's right. Television did not demand that of her. She was capable of anything and everything. She was a most capable actress.
You know, Pat, do you like doing drama, dramatic work?
Do I like doing drama?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Because in your career, most roles have been more comedic.
Yes. Well, I lean that way. It must be the Irish in me. But no, I love doing dramatic work, and that's why I love doing Stein, because it had so much of the drama of Stein's life in it. No, I love doing drama. I'm not asked to do it a great deal, because that hasn't been the majority of the work I've done. But it doesn't stop me from wanting to do it, and I still have some roles that I'm not going to discuss now that I hope to be doing in the theater before I conk off and go to the great theater in the sky. And so there's always something in the theater that you have, oh, I must play that one of these years. You know, they're like a kid. You have the 10 soldiers all lined up of things, characters you'd like to do.
You know, interestingly enough, Charlotte Ray talked about it there in the clip. I thought, boy, wouldn't Pat Carroll be great in a performance of Driving Miss Daisy?
Oh, I've never thought of that role. What a nice idea.
I thought, boy, the girl from Shreveport, Louisiana, this would be perfect.
From Shreveport, Louisiana, honey. A Southern gal, if ever there was one. Well, my mother was very Southern. She was such a Southern lady. She never got over it all her life. And I grew up with all that Southern background, and it's delicious.
Oh. You know,
I'm very grateful for it.
You know, Pat, when you look back at your childhood, how would you describe it?
Wanting a brother or a sister was my major thing, but I never got that. But I think my childhood was filled with imagination. I think that's when I fell in love with acting. And I don't know how, because I didn't see any legitimate performances until I was a teenager. So I don't know where I got that from. But I think my mother was a young actress in the theater, like a debutante, which she was, but she loved working in the theater, as did my dad, who was, I think, a better actor than Mom was. But, oh, she enjoyed it tremendously, but my father was passionate about it. He loved it. And wasn't he thrilled when I came into this work professionally? Oh, my goodness, I saw it on his face when he'd come and see performances. And I was so pleased because I knew it pleased him. It was what he had wanted to be.
You know,
and
Pat,
never got to be.
Pat, you won an Emmy Award very early on in your career. What was that like to win that Emmy?
Well, as always, any time you get an award in your profession, it's humbling. but it's thrilling. And it gives you a measure to aim all your work as high as you are able. Because it's very exciting also to be recognized for the work that you love doing. It is very exciting. And so I don't think any of us do the work to get awards, but boy, we sure enjoy it when we do.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing. You've won the Grammy, you've won the Emmy, you've won theater awards, and it shows, because when you watch a Pat Carroll performance, it holds up. You cannot not be entertained.
Oh, what a nice thing to say. Thank you. Well, I hope so, because that's what I aim for. I do the best every time I do, whether it's for television or the theater or whatever. I try to do my best, and that's all we can do, any of us.
You know, Pat...
But never stop trying to do your best, because I love the work that I have done professionally since I was 20, and I think I will die loving it. Mm. And I've been very grateful to be working all my life, and I am extremely humble about that, because a lot of actors who should be working aren't, and I want to find things for them to do, because it's an urge. It's a thing in you, like wanting to ride a horse. It's something you must do, and I am behind every person who makes a living acting, because it ain't easy.
You know, Pat, that being said, we talked about Charlotte Ray could have done a club act. Have you ever thought about doing a club act?
Oh, I worked in clubs for years. I worked the Blue Angel in New York. I worked all the clubs in New York, the small clubs in New York. I made my living for about 5 years with an act.
Huh? Have you ever thought about reviving that at this point?
No. That's doggone hard work. And at night, I'm too old for that sauciness. But it was great fun while I was doing it. I totally enjoyed it. I think I had good people writing the material I did. It was their work. They were the creative ones because they wrote what I said. But I enjoyed playing those words. I'm not sure I'm a good nightclub person, though, because I'd rather be home watching television. And I think that stops me from being wholehearted about it. But I made my living for about, I think, 5 or 6 years in clubs with an act. I enjoyed doing it. I think I would prefer working in theater on a stage. But I did enjoy that work, and the communication with an audience was very close and very personal. And you also had the ability to improvise, because there you were in this small space, in this small group of people, which I many evenings did. I didn't stick with the material. I just ad-libbed my way through ideas, and I had great fun doing that. But that's a tough life. That's not an easy life. And I'm glad when I could end that part of my theatrical life, because I don't think my heart was truly in it.
Now, Pat, as you spoke earlier, there's a couple things that you are thinking of doing. Is this something that would be happening in the fairly near future?
No, because I'm writing a book.
Oh.
And I can't say it's a biography, because I don't believe it is, but it is a compilation of the events of my life that have made me laugh so hard. And I think they might allow other people to giggle along. So I'm putting that down in a book form.
Oh, that...
And the title, I wish I could remember the title, because it's something my grandmother always used to say. And I'm so thrilled to have that as a title, and I can't remember it. So there we are, but at least I'm working on it, and I'm being tickled by it, because if it's making me laugh out loud, I hope it makes other people laugh out loud.
Now, Pat, were you somebody who, throughout your career, did you keep clippings and pictures and things like that?
Oh, you mean scrapbooks?
Yes.
Oh, sure, of course, are you kidding? Do you think the ego of performers would allow them not to save good reviews? Of course, you throw away the bad ones immediately. But I have those, and I kept them for grandchildren, which I have now. So if they're interested, they've got them.
You know, that's interesting, Pat. You actors at some point do have to have an ego.
Of course! Are you kidding?
But also, a lot of them are very shy people.
Are very what?
Kind of shy. Shy people.
Who is shy?
Like, I always hear Johnny Carson was shy.
Oh, I do believe this. I think many performers have done what they've done because they were shy.
Yeah. I think Charlotte Ray, I think that's what she was alluding to, was she was kind of not with the in-group in school, but this was something that made her stand out.
Right.
Yeah. So
it's the truth.
It's interesting.
And I think many times shy people are dying to be able to do something like that, but they're afraid to. And the best thing in the world is to try it.
Did you ever have stage fright?
Oh, my golly, yes, I still do.
Really?
Of course. You know, psychologists say the most frightening thing for most people is to get up in front of other people and do something, either give a speech or perform or sing or whatever. That it's the most frightening human experience.
And
I can believe that. I think, as I remember back, I was petrified. I remember walking up steps like they were to the guillotine because I had to perform something. But after a while, and you do a lot of it, you lose that fear, but you never quite get rid of it.
Does confidence in the work make it a little easier?
Oh, confidence and pleasure. I think that does make it a little easier, and it makes you more enthusiastic to get out there and try again. Because by this time you've had a little success with audiences, and it's an elixir. I mean, that is a thing that just drives you nuts. You want more of that. So, of course, it gives you the confidence to get out there and try more.
When you would go out on stage, because Gertrude Stein was, that's a one-person play. Was there ever fear of not remembering something? That's a lot of material.
Not remembering? Yes, always, because I even was of an age then. I wasn't a youngster when I did that. And my memory was slipping a little bit. It still is. And I was worried about remembering the words and blah, 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 blah. But you know there is a discipline also as an actor that gets you through a lot. And I think it was that discipline over the years that got me through Stein and all the performances I did. I don't know how many hundreds of performances I did of Stein, but I never lost my fear of forgetting something, of not remembering. I never lost that fear, but it never happened.
You know, Pat,
because discipline, training, experience, and time help a bit.
I think this is interesting in this program because we might have aspiring actors or actresses listening. When you got a script and you...
When I got what?
When you got a script for a part.
Right.
How did you approach playing that person?
Very carefully. Well, first you do it intelligently. You look at the overall play. How does this character fit in with all the other characters in this wonderful story? Then you begin analyzing the character and trying to think of their background, their life, up to this point where we catch them in this play. Oh, there's a lot of work that goes on, and it's fascinating work because it's using your imagination, and it's wonderful. And then you start putting, it's like building blocks, and then you take these building blocks and start putting them together to make a fortress or whatever you're building. It's wonderful working on a character because it's using your background, your experience, your intelligence, and your interest in making this character come to life. It's wonderful fun.
You know,
hard work, but wonderful fun.
You know, Pat, this just popped in my head, but you wanted to be a nun at one point, and you did play Mother Superior in Nonsense at one point.
Yes, I did, and I loved it.
Is that a fun play to do?
Oh, yes! I had so much fun with that show. It's a well-written show, and it's such fun to do, and because it's musical, it has so many places that are just... And to walk out in habits, I could tell you to the person where all the Catholics were. Oh, it was such fun.
You know, Pat, I have two more questions before I let you go here. When you are backstage, getting ready to go on stage,
right,
do you have any superstitions?
You know, I don't think I do. I have never built anything in the theater on superstition. I have not spent my life on superstition. I might knock wood twice before I go on because I'm Irish, but that's about it. I'm not very superstitious as a person. I'm really not, and I have to admit that. And I don't have any rituals that I do before a play. I don't do things like that. I never have, because I never did. But I figured that if people have things they're superstitious about, stick with it. Because someplace along the line, there's a reason for you being superstitious about that. So stick with it till you either find out what it is and you get rid of it, or you get the blessing you're supposed to get.
And the other question I have of doing these plays, Gertrude Stein, Nonsense, and the other plays you've done, was there ever a moment on stage where something didn't go exactly right that you remember? Something funny maybe from the stage work that you had done?
Oh, golly, I'm sure there has been, but at the moment I can't think of a thing. But you can't work in this profession without having those things in your life and using them, and they're popping up sometimes at untimely moments. But I have been able to laugh, and particularly with the gals I did Nonsense with. We had such joyous times because we were naughty girls, and we did all kinds of crazy things, and of course, being in habits makes you even naughtier. You just want to be as saucy as you can be. And we had such laughter amongst ourselves, and the audience got it too. And I could tell you, the minute we walked out, I could tell you every Catholic in the audience, because they screeched when they saw us.
Now, Pat, what did you have a favorite song, a number from Nonsense that you liked performing?
From Nonsense, I don't think so. I enjoyed all the numbers in character because they were absolutely bang on right, but I don't think so. No, there's nothing from any shows that I've done that I sing again, because that was just for that show and very special, and I don't treasure any of it. Probably more of the nightclub act I did, I bring out occasionally and do, because they were songs that had been written for me, especially just for club work, and I've never used them anyplace else.
And before we wrap this up, how are you going to remember when you see or think about Charlotte Ray? What will you remember?
I'll remember how disciplined Charlotte was. And I mean that in the best of ways. That sounds like a crotchety old lady of arms in the military, but Charlotte was a very contained person. She was very generous. She was very generous with audiences. But she knew to the moment everything that was going on. She was a very bright lady, very intelligent woman, and very feeling. or she couldn't have done some of the material she did. But I think Charlotte will be missed because she had very definite discipline about her work. She was a very disciplined performer, and yet very creative and loose and free and creative. You know what I mean.
Absolutely.
That doesn't limit any of that. She had all of it. But I think that Charlotte so enjoyed what she did, and she was so good at it, and that's why she enjoyed it. That was a good performer, that Charlotte Rae.
Absolutely. Pat, before we hang up here, is there a line from that club act that you remember that you could share with us?
Oh, my God, no. I can't remember a bit of it. If somebody asked me to do it today, I couldn't.
Well, here's what I want to say. I am always such a pleasure to talk with Pat Carroll. We talk on Pat's birthday on May the 5th. She always is kind enough to grant us that interview.
For Cinco de Mayo, anything.
Cinco de Mayo, and we get together on Thanksgiving and talk. We get together at Christmas time and talk, and we get together throughout the year. And it, boy, Pat, you have just been so kind to me and us here at the station.
Well, you have been so kind to me, too. So don't you forget your generosity, please.
Well, and I will say this. When you return to the stage, you make sure to let us know so we can come sit in the front row.
I would make sure you were there.
Pat, you stay well, and I hope we talk again soon.
I hope so, too, but you know I'm always available to you.
Well, God bless you, Pat. You stay
God
well.
God bless you, too, Scott. Bye.
Thank you. Terry Tackett, that is one of the kindest women in the world.
She's a great woman, man. That's,
you know, that was supposed to be 15 minutes.
I know, that's what I was wondering.
But she interests me so much.
Yeah, well, there's so many different things that you want to know about her that 15 minutes is just not enough time to...
She's the most dear woman in the world, and I can see why she won all those awards.
Absolutely.
You know, tomorrow, by the way, Larry Strauss, first interview, that Charlotte Rae's son given. We'll have that tomorrow. And tomorrow's Florence Harding's birthday.
Oh.
And we have a little bit of a surprise, but I'm not going to tell you about it.
Okay.
I'll make you wait.
All right.
Voice of a People coming up today at 4:10. And the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker coming up at 5.
Yep.
All kinds of good stuff here at WWGH Radio.
Just keep listening.
For this day, for Terry Tackett, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Stay tuned.
Chillicothe, Ohio, this summer. Over 2 million visitors have made this production an Ohio.